Russell Deo sails through his nomination hearing to be the next Undersecretary of Management at the Homeland Security Department. Deo, a former Johnson & Johnson executive, says getting DHS to have standard financial data will be among his top priorities, if the Senate confirms him. Federal News Radio's executive editor Jason Miller joins me now to tell us what he learned about Deo's management plans. Jason, good morning.
Good morning, Tom.
All right, so Homeland Security has made some progress around financial management in recent years, but how will Deo move the ball forward? Sounds like a Johnson & Johnson kind of thing to say.
Oh, I think you're absolutely right that over the last few years, DHS has really come into its own around financial management. In fact, in 2013, they received their first unqualified audit opinion from the IG around their financial management processes. And remember, this was a huge deal. We talked about it a lot on the air last year, and we're going to see how they do in 2014. Now, Deo recognizes that accomplishment and says he wants to make sure, number one, DHS doesn't slip back from getting that unqualified opinion. At the same time, he lays out the next step toward better financial management.
The next big piece, as far as I can see so far, is we need to have a fully integrated financial management system across all the components. You have to have reliable information so you can make smart budget decisions and have good analytics to make good strategic decisions. And having ledger sheets that don't match up and you can't compare apples to apples across the groups makes it very, very difficult to make informed strategic decisions. I think it's critical that the agency have a long-term focus, and you can't do that if you don't have reliable data. So that is an existent high priority within the finance group and indeed with the leadership of the department, and I strongly embrace that.
Deo says that Johnson & Johnson would have been unimaginable not to have this common financial system to make these strategic decisions. So as he's walking into the Homeland Security Department, again, if the Senate confirms him, he's kind of saying this has got to happen for us to be better all around. Now, to be fair to DHS, obviously, they are heading down that path. In fact, three components are moving to Interior's National Business Center, or I guess it's called now Interior's Interior Business Center. I know TSA and Coast Guard are two of them, and I'm hearing I think FEMA is the third one. So that's going to happen over the next few years. But remember, DHS currently has about 13 different financial management systems, so even getting down to fewer than 13 will be better.
You've got to be able to compare the baby soap to the shampoo and see who's doing better. So beyond financial management, important as that might be, where else will Russ Deo focus, does he say, from a management's point of view?
Well, it's interesting because during the hearing yesterday before the Senate Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, he did offer some more insights into his approach to management and some of his other priorities. First off, he says he believes his experience in the private sector will serve him well as he takes on what he calls a decidedly different role at DHS. Now, for Johnson & Johnson, Deo had broad experience. He was the general counsel. He also managed human resources, procurement, and even real estate and other back office functions.
I do think my experience in private industry should bring a fresh perspective to this role. As you well know, DHS consists of several operational components. The Undersecretary for Management leads a group of six administrative functions that provide support to these components. But importantly, this management group is also an engine that can drive better outcomes and greater efficiency through collaboration by and between the components and by standardization of strong policies, practices, and reporting.
Nadeo says one of his biggest lessons learned that he wants to bring to DHS is about how they prepare and address current and even future challenges.
In a tough competitive environment, companies like Johnson & Johnson need to be proactive, anticipating problems and opportunities and planning for contingencies. If confirmed, I would try to reinforce this proactive approach going forward. In sum, I believe that my experience at Johnson & Johnson should serve me well in meeting the challenges that the department faces to collaborate, align priorities, manage money effectively, and deliver on its critical mission.
Now, this idea of looking at data and understanding, opportunities and being proactive is something that in many ways DHS is starting to do now. If you remember, Tom, we've talked a lot about over the last year the management cube. This was an approach really started by Rafael Boris, the person who Deo would replace, where they're using data from all over the agency to make better decisions. and potentially see problems before they get too big and when potentially have a great impact on mission areas. Now, that concept of the management cube, data-driven decision-making, has actually been expanded by Secretary Jay Johnson in his Unity of Effort initiative. Deo, in his pre-hearing questions that we do have linked up on federalnewsradio.com for people to read, says collaborative decision-making is one of the three areas he really wants to build on current efforts. Now, Deo was introduced at the hearing yesterday by former DHS Secretary Michael Chertoff. He says he does support Deo's nomination. He believes Deo's role as an undersecretary for management actually is going to be more important than ever as DHS faces more and more challenges. And he listed the challenges that ran the gamut, you know, Ebola, constrained budget, and the foreign fighter problem that he said he believes, Chertoff believes will impact border, aviation, infrastructure, security of the country in the coming years. Now, on top of that, Chertoff says DHS's back office systems, and again, acquisition, finance, even HR, all really do need to mature, and that's where Deo can play a big role. Deo says his initial priorities align with those that Chertoff outlined and others, such as the Government Accountability Office, as detailed on their high-risk list. One area that definitely needs more immediate attention, Deo says, is adding more rigor to the procurement process.
The structure of the life cycle management of acquisitions looks pretty good. What's needed is disciplined about each stage review to make sure that the requirements are clearly defined. Each step is being met before it moves on, and that takes discipline, and it takes collaboration between the center and the components. I think it's a question of shared accountability, where both feel accountable for the outcomes that particularly on the highest priority acquisitions that are most critical to the mission, and we need to gain alignment with the components and the center on what those are. They need to be the highest priority, appropriately addressed, and put at the top of the list and managed well because the outcomes are so critical.
And that's Russ Deo speaking to the Senate Confirmation Committee yesterday. Jason, there were other nominations on the table, one for Homeland Security and also at Postal Service, the Board of Governors. What did you learn about those nominees?
Right. The two other nominees, in fact, one of them, Sarah Saldana, is nominated to be the Assistant Secretary for Immigration and Customs Enforcement at DHS, and that actually has been a position that has been vacant of a Senate-confirmed person for more than 14 months, so she's very much needed in that role. The second was Mickey Barnett to be a governor at the U.S. Postal Service. In fact, he's been in that role since 2006, so in many ways this was just a perfunctory nomination. I mean, this would be his third term. As for Saldana, Senator Tom Coburn, who's the ranking member of the Homeland Security and Governmental Affairs Committee, says she's going to have one of the toughest jobs in government, given all the challenges with immigration and border security. But Saldana says her leadership skills that she's developed over the years will be important if she is confirmed.
In a position like this, the demands are great. You cannot get into the weeds necessarily, but you can make sure that the people that are around you running the day-to-day operations are the finest, the best trained, and that you work as the leader of that office to provide them the tools they need. Decision-making, deliberate but timely. You can't just sit on decisions, and you've got to think them through. Be thoughtful, get all the information you can, and then do what's in the best interest of the American people. And then finally, communication. In this position, with 20,000 employees across the world, with all the agencies we have somewhat overlapping jurisdiction with, all of that, it's important to be communicating with them. And I've done that as a United States attorney. I've had to deal with the local law enforcement in 100 counties. There's a sheriff in each one of them. There's a police chief. There are constables. And I think all of that is going to serve me well.
Now, as for Barnett, he continued to beat the postal reform drum. He says the Postal Service is in crisis mode with $6 billion in liabilities on its books. Barnett says Congress needs to step in and give them the flexibility they need to improve their business model.
The primary way I think that Congress would come in and the President would be to free us up to do it. We're treated as a utility, which was certainly a reasonable model for a couple hundred years because we were more like a utility. This side of the business we're talking about on package delivery is extremely competitive, and there's no longer any need to regulate it as a utility. And we'd encourage you to take most of the rules and regulations off.
Now, Barnett says the Postal Service needs to be more nimble about, in terms of how it implements ideas and changes. He says, yes, they can run tests and trials, but because the Postal Regulatory Commission must approve any change, that process just takes too long. Now, Senator Tom Carper is the chairman of the committee. He says the Postal Reform Bill now before the Senate, and he expects it to be debated and voted upon during the upcoming lame duck session in December. And by the way, all three nominees received high marks from the committee. No one really spoke up against them, so I would expect a vote on them, you know, maybe in the coming week or two. All depends on schedules and how much longer the Senate will be in session. But there is definitely they're on a path toward a confirmation.
Well, that's an interesting tidbit of news from Senator Carper saying that that vote is going to take place during the lame duck session. Is there a House bill that's already passed, or what's the chances of this actually becoming law?
So remember, you have Dara Issa over in the Oversight and Government Reform Committee. He's working on kind of a separate path. But I know that the Senate and the House have been closer together in terms of what they're trying to get toward. But there are some disagreements. I'm not sure there's enough time to get everything passed and tidied up. I could, will they address, add it to some omnibus bill next year if they get close? That's all, a potential idea, but it's hard to say exactly if the vote will exactly happen. I think Senator Carper is hopeful, and it's hard to say where the House is heading next, because we've just not heard a lot from them recently. We've heard that they are interested, but what's the status? We're not sure.
All right, one way or another, it's going to be a busy autumn. Jason Miller is Federal News Radio's executive editor. As always, great to have you with us.
Thank you, Tom.